out of what were once hundreds and hundreds, still unbroken.
Pre-dark farmland?
That'd be my guess.
Orchards, my dear Ryan. Apples and pears, it looks like. Unfortunately for our empty stomachs, we cannot partake of any of it.
You're right, Doc. Acres and acres of prime farmland, poisoned by rad dust, chemical fallout, nuclear junk.
And who knows what else?
The irony is rather precious, isn't it?
I mean?
These were once magnificent farms, with fresh food as far as the eye could see. But now, the muties here think my old and somewhat withered body is a gourmet meal.
There was movement in the ruin of the glass house to their right. The friends stopped in their tracks, all eyes on the house now, looking for another glint of light or shift of shadows.
J.B., Christy, and Doc right side. Mildred, Dean, and Jack with me. And mind the crossfire.
Without another word, the companions neatly split into two groups and approached the glass house from each side. As Ryan neared, he was able to see through the jagged teeth of the broken panes to the inside. Tall green vines grew there, stretching from the ground to the ceiling, twisting and tangling about, as if each vine were trying to choke off the other. Ryan decided that there was nothing else living inside the glass house, and what he'd seen was simply the wind twisting its way through the vines. But then he noticed several leaves twitch, as if something were slowly moving through the vegetation, close to the ground. Remembering their run-in with the muties, Ryan followed the movement of the vines with his eye, waiting patiently for whatever it was to cross a small clearing to his left. Judging by the thing's speed, it would be in the open in about 2 seconds, and would be exposed for about half that time. Ryan readied his Sig Sauer and waited. When the thing finally appeared, Ryan held his fire, because he wasn't sure what it was. It looked like a gopher, but it was the size of a large dog. Its back was covered in glass shards embedded in its fur. The glass bits were sharp and jagged, and stuck out from its back at odd angles, making it look like a spike-covered war wag. Glass or no, it was probably still good eating. Ryan raised the Sig Sauer, but before he could fire, he heard the sound of one of Jack's leaf-bladed knives slicing through the air. A moment later, the knife pierced the side of the animal. The creature gave a small yelp before falling onto its side, dead.
Whew! Supper time!
Jack, wait!
Ryan turned to see the teen already crawling through one of the glass house's empty frames. Ryan reached out with his hand to try to stop him, but was too late. As soon as Jack was inside the glass house, a vine wrapped itself around his leg, holding him in place long enough for other vines to entwine his legs, arms, and neck. Ryan suddenly realized that those vines he thought were just moving in the wind were actually a species of tanglers, and vicious ones at that. They'd left the gopher alone because the sharp glass in its skin made the thing too tough to chill. Jack, on the other hand, was an easy meal. His vest, with its shards of glass and pieces of jagged metal, wouldn't protect him. Jack was struggling to get at another of his knives, but the vines had already gotten hold of his arms. He opened his mouth to call for help, but a thick green vine slid between his lips, choking off his words. Ryan holstered the Sig Sauer and unsheathed his panga. After kicking in the metal framing in front of him, he stepped into the glass house and began hacking at the vines. They were tough, thick as rope in places, each one requiring several hard chops with a big knife to cut through. When he reached the tangle of vines covering Jack, the young man was still struggling fiercely against the mutant vegetation. Wasting no time, Ryan began with the vines around Jack's head, but before he could cut through anything, a vine wrapped around Ryan's wrist, making his swings too weak to be effective. He switched the panga to his left hand and used it to cut his right arm free of the vine. He had the panga back in his right hand and was again working on freeing Jack when another vine got hold of his right leg and pulled him off balance. The sudden movement changed the arc of Ryan's knife, and he came dangerously close to lopping off Jack's right ear. Luckily, the panga cut through the vines wrapped around the teen's neck and mouth, allowing Jack to draw in a much-needed breath. But now there were vines around both Ryan's legs. He could cut himself free, but by the time he did that, Jack might be dead. He left the vines around his legs for the time being, and concentrated on freeing Jack. Vines moved into place around his neck and head again, and Jack struggled for breath. Ryan cleared away the new vines from around his neck, but they now had him by the chest as well, squeezing him hard and making it difficult for Jack to inhale.
Ryan! Jack!
Over here, JB!
In moments, Ryan heard the sound of JB's Tecna and Doc's sword stick slashing through the vines. Ryan doubled his efforts and began cutting and hacking at the vines around him. When he was free, he turned to Jack, who was now on the verge of losing consciousness. Ryan swung the panga over Jack's head in a wide arc, and the vines stretching from the ceiling fell away like rope. As he began working on Jack's left side, he could see JB and Doc approaching through the thinning wall of vines. They had cut a swath through the deadly vegetation and were now close enough to keep the vines away from Ryan as he continued working to free Jack. It took a few moments, but Jack was finally free. His pale white skin was covered with dark red abrasions, but at least he was still alive.
Let's get out of here.
Sage advice.
Doc slashed at a thin but persistent vine that was still trying to encircle the one-eyed man.
Wait!
Jack took a few steps and picked up the glass-armored gopher by the tail.
Not waste food.
Ryan stood with a panga in his fist as Jack made his way out of the glass house. JB and Doc exited next, followed by Ryan. Dean rubbed a hand over his stomach.
Think it'll be good eating?
The glass will probably come off with the skin.
Not worry.
Jack had recovered from his encounter with the vines and was obviously proud that he'd procured dinner for the friends.
When finished, tastes like chicken.
Ryan nodded as he wiped his panga clean. It probably would at that. Grunwald hit the young Sec man hard across the face.
Cripple stoop.
A spray of blood and a single tooth flew out of Rory O'Brien's mouth as his head snapped to the left. He spat once before speaking.
I just wanted to get a closer look at them. See what kind of blasters they were carrying. I thought the glass house would be plenty of cover.
Grunwald's hand came back across O'Brien's face. And this time his knuckle struck him full on the cheek. There was more blood this time, but all of the young man's teeth remained, however loose, inside his mouth.
You nearly gave away our position. They've got blasters and long knives, and they probably know how to use them. If they hadn't got caught up in those tanglers, they might have seen you, and the Baron would have had to kiss those two breeders goodbye.
O'Brien's eyes widened in fear at the mention of the Baron.
Just trying to do my job, Chief.
Yeah, well, you've got a new job now, starting as soon as we get back to the farm. And if I ever find the labs aren't clean enough to drink out of, your next job will be in some death trap of a mill, shoveling black dirt with your bare hands.
The look on O'Brien's face hinted he wasn't too pleased with the demotion. Grunwald erased the look of displeasure with a hard punch that caught O'Brien flush under the right eye.
Understood.
O'Brien wiped at the blood that was beginning to pour out of his nose.
Yes, sir.
Grunwald looked at his bloody knuckles and shook his head.
Now get out of my sight.
O'Brien, doing as he was told, was gone in an instant. The friends decided to eat the gopher while it was fresh. They set up a spit in the middle of a crossroad so they could see anyone approaching. Doc, Dean, and JB foraged for firewood, while Jack took a great deal of pleasure in skinning and gutting the animal that almost cost him his life. When Doc and Dean returned with the wood, Ryan whittled a long stick of greenwood with his panga and gave it to Jack, who used it to skewer the gopher lengthwise. Then he placed the stick on the upright branches embedded in holes in the asphalt and checked to make sure it was balanced as it turned. In minutes, the fire was burning hot in the spit, and the aroma of cooking meat made the friends' mouths water. Unfortunately, the smell would also attract the attention of every mutie for miles around.
JB, Christy, Dean, and Doc, take up a four-point perimeter. Triple red.
While Jack seasoned the meat with a few herbs, Mildred made sure the gopher cooked evenly over the spit, and it wasn't long before the meat was cooked well enough to eat. Jack cut 7 portions from the animal, pierced the meat with sharpened branches, and handed them out to the group so they could all eat while on lookout against a mutie attack. When Jack handed Dean his piece, he stood over the boy, waiting to hear him offer an opinion.
Tastes like chicken?
Dean took a bite out of the haunch, chewed the meat, and grimaced.
Not really.
Jack's grin was soon replaced by gritted teeth as a rustling noise overtook the crackling of the fire.
Kenny approaching.
Ryan turned and saw one of the thin, dog-like muties coming up the road.
Careful, people. If there's one out there, there'll be more.
Jack fingered his Colt Python.
Want shield?
Nah, not worth the ammo.
Then what? We can't just wait until they surround us.
The boy was right. While Ryan didn't want to waste precious rounds killing muties, they had to do something before there was 100 muties around them, and they'd have to blast their way out.
Everyone finish eating what they've got. I know we're all still hungry, but we have to leave the rest behind to attract the muties while we split.
The friends quickly ate what Jack had provided for them, even though the meat was a little tough and hard to swallow. JB, Jack, and Doc took seconds, but still left more than half of the huge gopher on the spit.
All right, let's move.
Doc nodded in the direction of the muties.
Bon appetit!
In a flash, the friends were on their feet, continuing the journey south. By the time...